Hi, you're listening to the Connect Your Health to Life coaching podcast. I'm your host, Seth Lusk. I am a self-image coach and empowerment coach with a decade-long background in working in the health, fitness, and nutrition industry. If you're anything like I was or the way that my clients currently are, then you might be struggling with body image issues, self-image issues, or issues with confidence. You might be trying to figure out why you can't take the ideas that you have for living your healthiest and most fulfilling life and turn them into lifelong actions. So join me in this podcast as we dive in deep on topics of mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health. We're going to look from the perspective of an authentic and empowering mindset, and from self-awareness, self-love, and of course, how we can start taking authentic self-action towards living that healthy and fulfilling life that you know you're here to live. I'm going to bust through some of the illusions and myths that we've all been taught to believe along the way and offer you confidence and clarity. I'm so excited to have you on this journey with me. So the only question is, are you ready to find out how you can start living your most authentic and fulfilling life once and for all? Then let's get started, shall we? Hello, hello everyone. So I'm going to go ahead and say again this week, they're still doing this construction work outside of our apartment building today. I don't know how long they're going to be working on these water pipes, but hey, they're still doing it today. So if you hear some loud noises, they are really going at it this morning outside. So that's what's going on. Other than that, my friends, welcome back to the podcast. Those of you who are listening for your first time today, welcome, welcome. I've got an interesting topic for you all today, and I was really struggling because I had two ideas for the podcast today of which topic I wanted to approach. And I think based on what I talked about last week with a big fat misunderstanding, that the topic I'm going to talk about today fits best as far as it just kind of, it sort of goes back into that. So last week we talked about fat, fat on our bodies, fat in, on our plates, fat in the dietary guidelines, and how there's so much misunderstanding and demonization about fat and this whole misconception about our bodies preferring glucose for fuel over fat and how this is not true and how to know when the amount of fat on your body is no longer healthy or serving your higher purpose, and when to recognize that your desire to be leaner is actually just you being cruel to yourself and your body and trying to have this unhealthy societal image of what your body should look like versus what it would be when it's its healthiest. So we talked about all of that. And in the process of talking about that, I also talked about the fact that we need to, there are a lot of foods out there or things that we call foods out there that I would actually question and say are not truly foods. I would say that they are highly addictive substances that the food industry puts out in order to make a lot of money off of us, which of course they are an industry. They're going to try and make money, but we need to recognize that as the consumer and have our higher purpose in mind when we decide what foods we will actually buy and put into our bodies. And I talked about things like getting rid of processed oils, processed foods, and sugars, and these highly concentrated fruit juices, and also this idea that we need to be eating fruit all year round every day, that this doesn't really serve our bodies. And so I know, a lot of things are going to come up for a lot of people about, wait, so you're telling me I don't need to be eating these foods over here that I eat all of the time? And so there are some changes that would need to occur in our lives, in our lifestyle habits, especially surrounding the way we eat. And that's what brings up the topic that I want to talk about today. And this doesn't just apply to eating, but it does also apply to eating. And guys, I want to point out a trend that I've started to notice with a lot of people in my clients, in my friends, and people in general talking about their goals and taking care of their bodies and their health and their life. And it's always this, there's this new culture almost rising around this idea that I don't want to live a restricted life. I don't want to live a restrictive life. Like, I can't enjoy life. I can't enjoy these things in life. Usually talking about things like drinking alcohol or eating a ton of sugar or watching television all day long. You know, like all of these little things that people, that when they want to really start optimizing their health and taking care of their well-being and their life and really getting serious about getting into the driver's seat of their life and taking the steering wheel and saying, that's it. We're not playing around anymore. Enough of this, you know, all of these buffers and eating all of these things that are not serving my body, not getting me any closer to my truest desires and goals. These need to stop. And what I hear is that with a lot of people, they don't want to do that. They don't even want to try because they say it's going to make their life too restrictive. And that's what I want to talk about today. So this concept of enjoying life without restrictions. Are you ready to start enjoying your life without restrictions? And it's not going to be what you're thinking. It's not going to be just go out and eat whatever you want, do whatever you want. That's like, you know, this idea of hedonism, and we're going to talk about that actually a little bit in the podcast today. And guys, I have a role model in the life coaching industry. I actually have several of them, but one of them, her name is Brooke Castillo, and she sort of introduced me to this concept that I coach from, which is the thought model and many other things. And guys, I've gone back this past week and just listened to a lot of her old podcast episodes surrounding topics about, you know, pleasure versus well-being and our highest purpose. And guys, I've just been like diving into her work and reminding myself of it. And it's been fueling all of these ideas, but also reminding me of things that I want to talk to you all about today. So, thank you, Brooke Castillo, for being my muse and my inspiration for the last week. Guys, also go check out her podcast. She has some amazing things to say. We share a lot of the same ideas. I've kind of taken the things I've learned from her and many other life coaches and put them together into how I approach coaching. But seriously, go check out her podcast. She's got some great stuff. There's this idea that people think that they cannot pursue their highest goals and purpose in life, their well-being or their dreams, because their life would end up being too restrictive and that they wouldn't be able to enjoy life. So why bother doing all of this work to try and go after our goals and our dreams and then not be able to enjoy life in the process? And what I want to say here is that we're missing the point. First of all, we are creating this illusion of what enjoying life actually is, and we're making it mean this idea of seeking immediate gratification and seeking immediate pleasures and doing it at the expense of us being able to serve our higher purpose, to go after our dreams and our goals. And this is what I want to talk about. So it's like people think that there's this either or. That's how we always tend to, we tend to like to think this way as humans, this black or white, right or wrong, good or bad, either or type of mentality. And so there's this idea that we either have immediate gratification and pleasure all of the time, and that's what it is about enjoying life, or we never enjoy life and we just work at the expense of ourselves and the expense of our, you know, being able to enjoy life, and that's what it means to go after our goals. And what I want to say is that's total crap. It's total crap, because we've missed an entire gray area in between that we're not looking at, my friends. And This is one of the few times that I will say an absolute. It's always where the answer is. The answer is not at the extremes. It's in the middle. And so what I want to say is that we can go after our goals and our higher purpose and our dreams in life and still be able to enjoy pleasure and still be able to enjoy life without restrictions. And it's all about knowing the difference between well-being and pleasure, and then true pleasure versus false pleasures. All right, so I want to go here first. It's all about well-being, my friends. This inner knowing that we have about taking care of ourselves, our lives, and our bodies, and following our truest and highest desires. And I know most people think that their highest desires are things like eating good food and drinking and partying and going out and laying on the couch and watching television all day. And these, they think, are like seeking this pleasure is their highest desire and highest purpose. And what I want to say is this isn't true. And there's a reason why you believe that. And we're going to talk about that later. Because these things that you're talking about, they're just pleasure. And they're actually what I'm going to tell you about later, which is called false pleasure. And so what I want to say is that it's not that when we go after our goals and our dreams that we don't experience any pleasure in life. Okay, so let's talk about this concept of true pleasures versus false pleasures. So, false pleasures. They are things that give us immediate gratification and feelings of pleasure, but they have a consequence on the other side. And that we have to work, we eventually have to work through and pay for that consequence on the other side. And that usually requires more and more of this false pleasure to receive the same pleasure that we want to receive from having it in the first place. Think of things like sugar. And think of things like drugs or alcohol or if you become addicted to sex. And that's not to say that sex is a false pleasure. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But think there are things that we enjoy in life and we use them as a way to seek immediate gratification and pleasure. And we get this intense response from it. It's like these concentrated responses. Things like sugar and drugs, alcohol, and then what I want to look at now is the idea of true pleasure. So with true pleasure, these are things that we can get pleasure out of that don't have a negative consequence on the other side. And I want to say this doesn't mean that true pleasures can't be turned into false pleasures. So true pleasures can be things like think about getting a hug and the feelings you get from getting a hug. Having a good and nourishing meal for our body and, you know, just feeling that feeling of being full and nourished, not stuffed and gorged. I'm talking about like a nourishing meal for the body. Think about having a long conversation with your friend, talking about life and your goals and the beautiful things in life, getting a massage, going for a walk in nature and connecting with nature, meditation, listening to music. And here's where I want to say where true pleasures can also become false pleasures. And that's when they start to have a negative consequence for us. So when we start using these true pleasures, like having a nourishing meal, and it becomes food is the only place I can get pleasure from, and so therefore I need to eat all of the time, and then we start becoming addicted to food and gorging ourselves on food. So food can become then a false pleasure, even though a good nourishing meal in the right amounts that's a true pleasure. Think of things like listening to music. I love to listen to music, but guys, I can catch myself sometimes wanting to buffer away discomforts in my life by listening to music and not looking at what is actually going on in my life and why I'm having the emotional experience that I'm having, what I'm there to learn. I can actually use music as a way to numb myself to that. And so in this way, music could even become a false pleasure for me because I use it to distract myself from my higher purpose or my ultimate goal. Same thing can happen with sex or with, you know, even massages. I guess you could become so addicted to massages that you're getting massages all of the time and you're not doing anything in your life to create well-being. And you're spending lots of money, which of course creates less well-being in your life because then you have no financial stability. So I have an idea that I want to share with you guys here. And there's no way that I can prove this, but I think if we all are really honest with ourselves, we know this intuitively and we can feel it. And it's this idea that we all have these dreams and that these dreams are sort of implanted in us, maybe even before we're born, or they're created at such a young age in our formative years when we start recognizing life and how things are and the things that we want to start creating more of in life. And that's an exercise I go into with my clients that I teach them how to do to kind of recognize their values and their dreams. But that's a side note. So dreams. What if we stopped looking at our dreams as if they're just an option that we have available to us, and we started recognizing that they're there for a reason, and that ignoring them and allowing them to just kind of sit on the back burner and us silencing them and buffering them away with false and immediate pleasures, that actually creates our ultimate suffering. And this is also why many of us have created so many false desires in our life, is because in the beginning, when we recognized our dream and our goals, we accepted a belief about ourselves, either from someone else or from something we observed and interpreted, and told ourselves, there's no point in going after the goal. We're not worthy enough. We're not able enough. There's not enough time. Something that we told ourselves is a reason why we are not good enough to go after our goals, or there's no point in doing it. And then we started feeling that discomfort of knowing that that goal, that thing that we are here to do and to show ourselves and show the world that is possible for us as humans. For me, it's showing humanity what is possible when we learn to love ourselves unconditionally, what we are able to create in ourselves, in our lives, and in our health when we do that. That is my goal. And when I believed as a teenager and even as an older child that wasn't possible because there were too many hurt people and they were bullying me, and I believed that it meant that there was something wrong with me and I would never be able to get through to them, they would never listen to me because I'm too, I don't know, girly looking, too feminine, not loud enough, not strong enough, not, you know, important enough, not whatever enough for people to... I believed that I wasn't able to go after that goal. That desire that I had, that true desire that I had to heal the hurting that I saw around me and the people that were not loving themselves unconditionally and therefore couldn't love other people and were therefore showing up as bullies in life and, you know, creating more hurt because they were hurting. So what I want us to recognize is that this is where our buffering patterns and the desire for these false desires actually starts. That's where it started for me. I started distracting myself with all sorts of things, you know, and music was one of them. You know, just like doing things to try and distract myself from the fact that I was not pursuing this goal, this desire that I had, this true desire to help heal this hurting that I saw in humanity. And what's interesting is that the amount of false desires that we create in our life and the amount that we use them actually determines our willingness, in a way, to pursue those dreams and put in the effort to go after them. Because we're so distracted with the false desires and the lack of ability to be in the discomfort of going after our true desires and the discomfort of not knowing what's going to happen, but going and trying and doing anyways and believing that we're going to create and that we're here and that we're doing this for a reason. The more we give into the false pleasures and the immediate gratification, it creates this illusion that it's even harder for us to go after our true desires or see or know our true desires. We end up thinking that we're better off getting this immediate hit of false pleasure without the work, rather than putting in the work to get the ultimate pleasure of well-being. But there's an illusion here. The illusion is that there's no work with the immediate gratification. There's always work. But the question is, does the work come first or after? You see, with immediate gratification, the work comes after. You might be like, well, what work? I already got the pleasure. So when we give in to these false pleasures, the instant gratifications, the work that we end up having to do after is that we've destroyed well-being. We've done something usually... Okay, so remember, with the false pleasures, there's a consequence. And it's usually something with our health. Or, you know, if the false pleasure is shopping, with our financial health. So we've spent more money than we actually had to spend because we wanted that immediate gratification of having new clothes or having a new car or having a new... whatever it is that you like going and shopping for. But you actually didn't have the money for that. And you want to create financial stability for yourself, but you're not going after that financial stability because you don't want to put in the work to go after it. Why would you do that when you can get the immediate gratification of buying something now, which then inhibits you of having even more of having the financial stability that you actually wanted, and then creates more work for you to create that financial stability, that the desire for it is still there And so then you'll have to buy more and more things to buffer away that desire for the financial stability, and then create more and more work for yourself to create that financial stability until you literally are bankrupt and you can't buy, then you can't create the immediate gratification for yourself anymore. And you have this mound of work that you're going to have to do to create the financial freedom and stability that you want. So my friends, there's always work. It's just the question of, are we doing the work now to create the ultimate pleasure of well-being for ourselves? Or are we doing the work later when there is no anticipation, there is none of that toward energy anymore because we've already had the gratification? So there's no more of that, there's no more of that delayed gratification anticipation. So see, once you've already immediately gratified yourself, then you have to do the work afterwards, but there's nothing to look forward to. So what do? You look for another immediate pleasure hit, which then creates more work for you. So you look for another immediate gratification hit, which then creates more work for you. So see, here is the difference between the pursuit of well-being and true pleasures and true desires versus the false pleasures and the immediate gratification, is that when we pursue our well-being and we delay that gratification, the work actually becomes easier as we're able to create more and more well-being in our life with less and less work. Because the longer we are willing to stay in that delayment of gratification, to stay in that discomfort, and know that the gratification will come later, the more well-being we create in our life, which then creates less work for us to create more well-being, which is the ultimate pleasure. Then we have more ability to also pursue some pleasures in our life that are immediate without them having a negative effect on us, because we're not dependent on them to buffer away discomfort. You know, it's not that having a glass of wine with dinner is so bad, that it's so horrible for us, or that it ruins our body. But my friends, when we're using alcohol to buffer away discomfort, we end up drinking so much that we are damaging our bodies, to the point that then we actually can get to a point where we can't drink any alcohol without it causing damage to our body. And we need more and more of it to get the gratification that we want to get from it. And then we create more work for ourselves later on in life to get what it was that we wanted that caused us to start over drinking in the first place to get that gratification. Whereas when we have well-being in our life and we're creating it, it's not that I can't have a glass of wine. And I'm actually going to talk about that here in a minute with my pursuit of alcohol as a buffer in my life, and also with sugar. So it's not that now in my life that I cannot have a glass of wine. It's that I don't need it. I don't need it for pleasure. It's not that it can't be pleasurable, but I don't need it for pleasure. I'm creating pleasure in my life on a daily basis with many things that I'm inviting into my life by actually not drinking alcohol. And I'm going to talk about that again also in a minute. So, my friends, what I want to say with this is that this idea that gratification now doesn't require any work is false. It actually creates more work for us in the long run. So a lot of us don't go after our higher purpose and our ultimate goals because we're like, I don't want to put in that amount of work. Well, my friends, the thing is, if we go after our higher purpose and goals, as I said, we do put in work now. We delay the gratification. We delay the pleasure. But then we end up having to do less work later, and we get to enjoy the pleasure of the well-being in our life later on in life, and we get to enjoy it more and more and more fully without it being at the expense of ourselves and our health and our life. So I want to talk now about this idea of hedonism, because I know this is where this idea that we should just pursue pleasure in the moment comes from. But guys, there's something actually in hedonism that I think we're not paying attention to that is interesting, because it actually defeats this idea that the whole purpose is to seek pleasure now at whatever cost. So hedonism is, the definition is actually the pursuit of pleasure in the moment to maximize net pleasure. Okay, so what is net pleasure? So let's think about net worth or net income. So it's like If you have a business and you make $500,000 in your business this year, but then you have $500,000 worth of business cost for what you did to create that $500,000, your net income is zero. Versus if you made $500,000, but you did it in a way where the business costs were like $200,000, well, then you have a net income of $300,000. Okay, so this idea of pursuing pleasure in the moment to maximize net pleasure, and that the net pleasure is actually the pleasure we receive in the moment minus the suffering that it causes or the displeasure that it causes later. So, guys, what I want to say is this idea that we just have to seek immediate gratification now and false pleasures, it doesn't even actually fall in line with hedonism, because the definition of hedonism is to seek maximizing our net pleasure. But if the immediate gratification comes with the suffering and the consequence of more work for us later, then actually our net pleasure is zero and actually could end up negative. So when we look at the examples of alcohol and sugar, we have short-term consequences. For instance, let's use sugar. So it's not that like a little bit of sugar in our diets is going to hurt us, but okay, so we start looking for sugar for pleasure. And so we start eating these junk foods, like I'm talking flour, like baked goods, cookies, cakes, candy bars, fruit juices, all of these things that they give us that immediate gratification of that sweet taste and that pleasure of having something sweet in our mouth. That. Okay, so the short-term consequence is that we're gonna have a sugar crash later. And then we'll need more sugar to get our sugar levels up. Or the consequence could be the guilt that you have of eating it if you're trying to lose weight. Or knowing that it's not good for your body and eating it anyways. And so there's this immediate consequence. And then there's also depending on how much sugar you eat, that there could be weight gain. So there are these immediate consequences. But then also, my friends, there are long-term consequences. And the longer we use sugar for pleasure, the more of it we need to produce the same pleasure hit, and then the more consequences we start creating in our bodies. We start creating mitochondrial dysfunction. We start creating insulin resistance. We start creating obesity. We start creating diabetes. We start creating cancers in our body. So the list of consequences, the longer we keep using this immediate gratification as our source of pleasure in life, the consequences become larger and larger and larger. And so, therefore, our net pleasure actually gets lower and lower and lower by using these things as our way to seek pleasure. And so, what I want to offer is that a lot of the things that we're using, even from this hedonistic approach of if life is all just about enjoying the moment and enjoying the pleasure, well, my friends, the net pleasure that you're creating even the immediate pleasure that you're creating, you need more and more of that thing to create the immediate pleasure until eventually the thing creates such a consequence that you can't even get the pleasure from the thing that you were getting in the first place. For instance, someone who now has type 2 diabetes and obesity, they can't have any sugar without having to inject themselves with insulin. And then the more they inject themselves with insulin and keep eating the sugar, the more insulin they keep needing to inject until eventually, guess what? They will end up creating so much damage in their body that they die if they don't start managing their sugar intake. So, my friends, this idea that these immediate gratification things, that this it's about living for the pleasure in the moment, what I want to say is this: you can choose that. But there is a consequence to it. So this idea that there is no consequence to it, that there is no work, that it's all just about the immediate pleasure, first of all, you won't be able to experience the pleasure as much later on. You'll need more and more of the thing. You'll be able to experience less and less pleasure. You can choose that. You can choose that. But my friends, we need to stop lying to ourselves that the reason that we are choosing it is because it's about enjoying life, and that without it, we can't enjoy life. Because you've now given yourself into victimhood of these things being what creates the only source of pleasure in life, and that there isn't an ultimate source of pleasure, which is going after our goals, our dreams, and creating well-being in our lives, which is actually what we want. And we started doing these buffering behaviors to try and buffer away the discomfort of the fact that we are not creating that well-being in our life. We're not going after those goals. And so what I want to say is that if you want to choose this option to just live in the moment and seek pleasure in this moment, don't lie to yourself about it. Choose it. But tell yourself why you're choosing it. I'm choosing it because this is what I want to believe. I'm choosing it and it has a consequence on my life. It is going to shorten my life. It's going to take away from my well-being. It has a consequence. It requires work from me. It has a cost. So we have to stop believing this lie that living in the moment and seeking pleasure right now, we're doing it because that's what we have to do. That that's the only option there is. It's either that or restricting our lives and not ever having any pleasure in our lives. And what I want to say is that belief is also coming from a desire to buffer away the discomfort of seeing that the true pleasure that we want is going after our goals, creating that well-being in our life, creating that health, creating that relationship with ourselves and that self-love, and really showing up in our lives in a powerful way that we're here to do, pursuing our dreams and goals and our higher purpose. So that we have this desire for giving into these false pleasures because of our primitive brain. And we've talked about this before in the, actually in the podcast episode called The Urge Emergency, where I talked about these urges and where they come from. So go back and listen to that if you want to know a little bit more about this, the primitive brain and our prefrontal cortex. And so here's what I want to say. As humans, we still have that primitive brain. And that's where this, you know, because of the fact that we actually want to seek our well-being and our higher purpose in life, and that requires delayed gratification. We have to be able to resist urges, and we have to be willing to be in the discomfort of those urges being there and delaying the gratification of them for the anticipation of the ultimate gratification of creating well-being in our life, and that we will create less work for ourselves to create more and more of that well-being in our life later. And so we have this primitive part of our brain that gives us these urges. And it comes from, you know, the desire for survival and this illusion that we think that we're not going to survive if we're not seeking immediate pleasure. And what I want to offer is this: every animal has that primitive programming. And us as humans, we were given a prefrontal cortex. So that part of the brain didn't go away, but on top of it, we have the prefrontal cortex, which allows us to observe kind of what's going on in the primitive brain, to have thinking and to observe our own thinking, to have emotional experiences, and then create with intention our emotional experiences. And so what I want to say is this idea of living for immediate gratification all of the time, my friends, we weren't given this prefrontal cortex. We didn't develop this prefrontal cortex in our brain for no reason. Any animal can live for immediate gratification. And us being humans, being put on this planet as humans and having this prefrontal cortex, it's there for a reason. And it is for the purpose of pursuing this ultimate pleasure of our well-being, of our goals, of our higher purpose, of what we're here to do. It's what provides us with our abilities to create emotions, to delay instant gratification, and to do it because we're following through with a plan. So, here's what I want to say. This idea that somehow giving up these things, say it's sugar, or say it's alcohol, or say it's binge-watching television on the couch all day, the list can go on and on. Staying up late at night and eating and watching movies, dressing up and going out partying all night and drinking, the list goes on and on. The illusion that I see behind these is that people believe that this activity or this thing is actually what gives them the pleasure that they're feeling. And there is a certain amount, there's a chemical, a dopamine response that we get. But what I also want to offer is that we can create these chemical responses in our brain by choosing to experience certain emotions, and that we can choose to experience those emotions without the thing. So there's this illusion that we need immediate gratification. And then there's also this illusion that we need the thing to enjoy life. So these things that give us pleasure and immediate gratification, but they have a consequence, they actually keep us from enjoying life later. They create things like fatigue, illness, weight gain in excess, decline in our mental health, all of these things. And here's the other part of this that I want us to recognize. These things that we associate with the pleasure versus creating the pleasure of well-being in our life because we're able to show up in our life in a way where we resist the immediate gratification, we create a plan, we go after our goals and dreams, and creating that ultimate sense of well-being and that being our ultimate pleasure. So these immediate pleasures, they come from circumstances or things. And these things can always be taken away from us. So what I'm talking about are things, for instance, going to the gym or going to a restaurant or going on vacations all of the time. It's not that these things cannot be enjoyed in life and that that we can't experience pleasure while we are enjoying them. But where we get ourselves into trouble is when we start believing that they are what gives us the pleasure. And that we cannot create pleasure in our lives without them. And that we are dependent on them to create pleasure in our lives. And so many things can take this away from us at any moment in time. Our health could take it away from us. Your health, meaning you can no longer have sugar or you're going to die. You can no longer have alcohol or you're going to die. You can no longer travel for whatever reasons. Weather changes could take these things away from us. Environmental changes, for instance, sugar just stops growing on this planet because our soil can no longer support it. What if that happened? All of the people out there that are saying they can't enjoy life without sugar, well, what are you going to do? Sugar no longer exists on the planet. So are you just going to no longer enjoy life? No, you're going to figure out how to enjoy life without sugar because the enjoyment actually comes from something else. The enjoyment actually comes from the emotional experience. And this is the difference between pleasure and enjoyment or happiness, is that pleasure can come from these things like these dopamine hits. And enjoyment actually comes from an emotional experience. And my friends, I want to bring up another thing that can take these things away from us that we associate with being the cause of pleasure in our life, a pandemic. That hit home for a lot of you just now. So many people lost their jobs. So many people got sick and died. So many people were no longer allowed to go to gyms, were no longer allowed to travel, were no longer allowed to go see loved ones. And I saw a lot of suffering because so many people had associated those things with being what allowed them to enjoy life. And when we believe that these things and circumstances are what allow us to enjoy life, then we stop ourselves from being allowed to enjoy life when these things or circumstances are no longer available to us. And guys, if this pandemic in 2020 proved anything to us, it's that it's always possible. A tiny little virus can make things so unavailable for us. Things so unavailable for us. So the question is, can we still enjoy life? Absolutely. Because the enjoyment of life comes from the emotional experience that we have of life, which we can create for ourselves without the thing that we think that the emotion came from. Remember, we have to go back to the thought model here. We have circumstances or the things. Then we have beliefs or thoughts about them, which create our emotions and then actions and then results. So my friends, the circumstance or the thing that you thought was giving you the enjoyment was coming from your emotional experience, which came from your beliefs and thoughts about the thing. Which means that when that thing is no longer available, you can create those beliefs and thoughts and therefore emotions about something else or another circumstance. So what I want to say is that it's not that we can't enjoy life with things in it, but when we believe in this illusion that the thing is what gives us the enjoyment in life, and that without it, our life would be too restricted and that we couldn't enjoy it, my friends, what I want you to see is the illusion here is that you're already restricting your life. You're already restricting your life by telling yourself that you can't enjoy life without this thing. You're not allowed to enjoy life without this thing. And so if this thing was no longer available to you, then you would no longer be allowed to enjoy life. And so here's how I see this playing out for many of my clients that come to me when I was doing personal training and nutrition consulting, is that a lot of them would have these health concerns going on, and they wanted to create health in their life. They wanted their health back. They wanted to feel good in their body again. They wanted to enjoy vitality and vibrance in their life again, but they would need to stop eating certain things in order to do it. And they wouldn't be willing to do it because they would say, if I give up this thing, then my life would be too restrictive and I wouldn't be able to enjoy life. And what I thought was so sad when I would see this happening is I'm like, you're already not enjoying life. You're here right now talking to me because you want health in your life. That is your true desire. That is your well-being right there that you want. But you won't go after it because you're so busy pursuing the immediate gratification of this false pleasure of sugar, of alcohol, of bread, of ice cream, whatever it might be, of sitting on your television and binge watching television with ice cream and cookies, whatever it might be that's causing the unhealth in your body right now. The illusion is that you need that thing to enjoy life, but it's actually what's keeping you from enjoying your life. It's actually what's restricting you right now, and you believe that giving it up would be restrictive. But you're already restricted because you're now telling yourself, I can't be healthy. I can't go after this goal that I have, this true desire that I have that would increase my well-being, that would create less work for me in my life later instead of more. That I'm not allowed to go after this because in order to do so, I would have to give up this immediate false pleasure and that would be too restrictive. So there is something we can do here. And it's not just about using willpower to delay gratification and to willpower our way into not seeking gratification and to resist. Because I know that's what most people go after when they say, okay, so if I'm not allowed to have these things, then my life will be too restrictive and I'll just have to be resisting things all of the time. And here's what I want to say about that, is there is a technique that I teach my clients and it's using toward energy versus away from energy. It's using looking at the things that we are inviting into our life versus the things that we are taking out of our life to allow these other things to be invited in. So I'm going to talk about an example for me. In my own personal life, people ask me all of the time when they find out that I don't eat processed sugar. I don't eat, really, the only sugars that I have in my diet are sometimes I have some berries, things like that, or like the little bit of natural sugars that might be in some vegetables that I eat, things like this. So I don't eat sugar. Like, I don't, when I'm saying sugar, I mean like the white powdery stuff that you mix in with cakes, desserts, and all of that to make things sweeter in fruit juices. I don't partake in this. I don't drink fruit juices. I also no longer look for alcohol to be a source of pleasure in my life or a source of happiness and enjoyment in my life. And so people will tell me, so then what is it that you do to enjoy life? And what I see here is that they've forgotten that the thing didn't give them the enjoyment of life in the first place. There were emotions that they experienced while doing the thing that gave them the enjoyment of life. So let's talk about alcohol for me. I had a serious drinking problem in my 20s and early 30s. And it started in my early 20s when I started wanting, I had just left living with my parents. I started wanting to become social and get out in the world. And guys, I had grown up in a Christian home and I was new to being openly gay. I didn't know how to be around large groups of people that weren't Christians and be out in the social scene. And guys, I felt socially awkward. And, you know, one of the social lubricants that people offered me was, here, have some alcohol. So I started drinking a little bit of alcohol and I would maybe have like half of a drink and I would already be buzzed. But then I would notice when I was buzzed, I was willing to just be. I was willing to just talk and believe that what I was saying was funny and I was enjoyable and people liked hearing what I had to say and people loved being around me. And I just didn't notice anything bad and everything was just good. And I was, you know, free to dance around and talk and tell jokes. And so, guys, I started associating that I needed alcohol to be able to experience this. So and then I would need more and more and more alcohol to experience the same feeling of feeling free and like I could relax and let go and just be me and that people would love me and I was fun to be around. And it created a huge problem for me. It created a huge problem for me and started creating dysfunction in my body. I wasn't sleeping well at nighttime. I wasn't feeling well during the day. I wasn't healthy anymore. So the drinking alcohol and feeling this feeling of being able to be free and relax and let go and know that I was liked and loved in social situations, that I could just be me and people would like me, and using this immediate gratification of alcohol to numb that tension of that inner judgment voice that I was telling myself that I'm not these things, that came at a price. It came at a cost of my health. And so then, my friends, I developed a chronic illness in my life and recognized that if I were to continue drinking in this way or continue eating sugar in the way that I was eating, that it would start inhibiting my ability to have this alive and vital and vibrant and energetic body that I loved being in. So I was literally restricting myself from having that by thinking that I needed these things, this sugar and this alcohol in my life, to enjoy life. But to me, I wanted to enjoy life in a healthy body. And when it came to the alcohol, really what it was is that I wanted to feel free. I wanted to feel like I could be in a social situation and people would like me and want to be around me. And what I recognized is that the reason why when drinking alcohol, I was feeling those things wasn't because the alcohol made me feel those things. It's that they numbed me to that voice of judgment that I had in my head that was telling myself, no, Seth, you're not likable. You're ugly. You're girly. Nobody likes you. You're socially awkward. You don't know what to talk about. People aren't going to be able to relate to you. They're going to think you're crazy. Nobody likes you. And so I was using alcohol to numb that voice so I could listen to my real inner intuitive voice in my heart telling me, no, Seth, you're an amazing, beautiful person. You are loved. You are lovable. Some people might not choose to love you, but that doesn't make you less lovable. That's about them and their choice and their ability to love. And I had numbed that judgmental voice so much with alcohol that I could hear and allow myself to be free and relax into the social situation. And so really what I wanted to experience by drinking alcohol was that sense of being able to be free and relax into a social situation. And once I recognized going through the thought model that the reason I wasn't allowing myself to relax in social situations was because of thoughts and beliefs that I was having, I recognized I could create new thoughts and beliefs about myself to be able to create that experience in social situations without the need of alcohol to create it. And therefore, I was able to release that need for this thing in my life to enjoy life that was actually destroying my ability to enjoy life because it was destroying the health of my body and destroying my ability to pursue my ultimate goal, which was well-being, and to show up in a way to help people heal their ability to love themselves unconditionally and to show people what's possible when you can love yourself unconditionally. And actually, by me drinking alcohol, I was numbing myself to that pursuit of that because I was just trying to drown out that voice of judgment instead of recognizing where it came from and teaching myself how to love myself unconditionally. And then I don't need alcohol to be in a social situation and be like, hey, guess what, guys? I'm here and I'm awesome and I love me and I love you all too, even if you don't love me. And we're all lovable, amazing people. So let's be here together and be awesome together. And I don't need the glass of wine to do that. Do you see what I'm saying here, my friends? The alcohol and the sugar were the restrictions. They were restricting me from having freedom to heal my body. They were restricting me from recognizing the wound that I had inside of myself that wasn't allowing me to truly show up and love myself. That was keeping me from being able to be in these social situations and love myself and feel freedom in those social situations. And feel like I can just be me and love me and that I am lovable 1000% no matter how anyone responds to me. My friends, the alcohol was the restriction. The sugar was destroying my body. That was the restriction. And we're lying to ourselves and telling ourselves that the restriction is giving those things up. But the reason why we want to give them up is because we want to pursue something higher for ourselves. My friends, we have that desire there. And so when we tell ourselves that we can't enjoy life without these things, number one, we give away all of our power to the thing, and if it ever gets taken away from us, we're telling ourselves we can't enjoy life. But on top of that, we're actually restricting ourselves from truly enjoying the ultimate pleasure in life, which is creating well-being for ourselves. And so another pushback that I get from people here is that they don't know what their truest and highest desires are. And what I want to say is that your ability to see and know your truest and highest desires is directly correlated to the amount of false pleasure that you have in your life. Your truest desires are there, and in fact, you're not pursuing them because you're pursuing these immediate gratifications. And so you're distracting yourself from your truest desire with these false desires. My friends, what I want to offer you is that if you want to know your true desires and your highest calling, you have to go back to where the desire for these immediate gratifications started. You have to go back there. You have to look at the initial wounding. You have to be willing to be in that discomfort, to create that healing for yourself and let go of that illusion that that false desire is what's creating pleasure for you in your life, to what's making you able to enjoy life. We then need to strip away the buffering, the false desires, to allow a space to open up within us that we were filling with those false desires. And my friends, when we do this, it's so uncomfortable. It feels uncomfortable because there's this empty space there. But the longer you allow that discomfort to be there and allow that empty space to be there and tell yourself, there's nothing wrong here, I'm opening up that space, clearing it out of these false desires, my friends, then your power starts to rush back in. That energy starts to rush back in, and your true desires are right there with it. That space starts to fill with the most beautiful and powerful dreams and desires that we have for ourselves, that we have for all of humanity. Because, my friends, I also want to address this idea that somehow our having our dreams and our desires is selfish. And, my friends, what it is that we're so busy pursuing false desires that come at the expense of ourselves and other people, and that's why we believe that. But I promise you, when you allow for your true desires to come in, they're not selfish. My truest desire was to heal my ability to love myself unconditionally, because I knew if I could do it, then other people could too. So my truest desire was so far from selfish. It was so selflessly selfish. Because the fact that I took that desire for immediate gratification, set it aside, and pursued that desire to love myself unconditionally, allowed me to then be able to show up in the world in a way where I could show other people how to do it too. So my friends, there has to be this process of clearing out the false desires, but we need to let go of this illusion that somehow that is a restriction. Letting go of the false desires is not restriction. We're taking our power back because we're recognizing that our enjoyment from life comes from within us, not from pleasure outside of us. There's a difference between pleasure and enjoying life. Enjoyment comes from our emotional experience that we create in ourselves and allowing ourselves to experience all emotions and stop telling ourselves that there's something wrong with it and be there fully while we're creating that path to our true desires, that ultimate pleasure of well-being and healing ourselves and therefore humanity. So my friends, clearing out these false desires is not the restriction. It's the freedom from the restriction. You're letting your power flow again. You're no longer attached to a thing that can be taken away from you for enjoying life. But not just that, you've cleared out the space to now recognize your true desires and to open up that power for you to start going after that true desire. Are you really restricting your life to choose to let go of something that's holding you back from your truest desires? Are you really restricting your life by choosing to let go of something that's restricting you, holding you back from living your most fulfilled, authentic, and highest version of your life in which you have created well-being for yourself and others? Delaying the gratification, putting in the work now, so that we can start exponentially creating well-being for ourselves in our lives and creating less work for us later. You see, my friends, this idea that letting go of these things is restriction, when you let go of them, that's when you start to live life without restrictions. Because you're no longer lying to yourself and telling yourself you can't go after those dreams or goals. Because it's too hard to resist the urges. It's too hard to not seek immediate gratification. It's too hard to not need these things in our life to enjoy life. When we take our power back and recognize we are the ones responsible for creating that emotional experience and therefore our enjoyment in life, And that when we let go of the desire for immediate gratification, we open ourselves up to pursue our true highest desires, what we're really here for. That's not restriction, that is freedom. So, my friends, what I want to say is that letting go of these things, that is starting to live a life without restrictions. And so I want to give you an exercise that you can try out when you start thinking of something that you know that if you were to choose to let go of this and not have it be an active part of your life or a source of your enjoyment in life, and you feel that voice coming up of saying, this is going to be too hard, what are we going to do instead? What if you miss it? What if you can't do without it? What's the point in this? We need pleasure right now, and this is too uncomfortable. I'm not powerful enough. I can't do it. I want you to take a piece of paper and sit down, okay? And I want you to imagine yourself as the person who has already let go of the habit, the substance, the circumstance, whatever it is. And you are now enjoying your well-being and your most fulfilled and healthiest life. I want you to imagine being that person. And I want you to write something down. Number one, what are you feeling as this person? What are you allowing yourself to feel in this moment as this person who is truly free from these false desires, truly free to pursue your highest purpose and your well-being in life? What are you feeling? Write those things down. What sort of activities and experiences are you having in your life now? Or I'm sorry, what sort of experiences and activities are you having in your life as that person? Versus that you're not allowed to have right now because of this habit or substance or circumstance that you're saying you can't let go of. So for instance, for me, when I let go of needing alcohol for pleasure in life or to enjoy life, I was able to experience wakeful mornings and getting up in the morning and feeling good and active and being able to do things in the morning without feeling tired and hungover. I was able to participate in more hiking and activities that I wanted to do outside because my body felt better. I had less inflammation in my body. I was able to start creating things in my business because I had mental clarity. I could think clear. I could see things. I could write out plans and do it with so much more clarity. So these were things that I was able to start experiencing and participating in my life because I let go of this false pleasure. So I want you to think of those things, those activities, those experiences that you will start having once you let go of this false pleasure, this immediate gratification, and write those things down. It could be things like, oh, for me also with giving up sugar, I invited better digestion into my life. You know, my digestion feels better. And feeling less stiff joints. And so here's what I want you to recognize. Once you do this list, take 5 to 10 minutes to write down these lists of the things that you're feeling when you're that person who's let go of the habit, the circumstance, the false pleasure, and what activities and experiences you're now having in your life that you're unable to have right now because of this habit, substance, or circumstance. Look at this list. Because what I want you to recognize is that when you want to give up these things and you're choosing to look at it as being restrictive, you're choosing to focus on the things that you're letting go of. You now have a list of the things that you will be inviting into your life by letting go of this thing. And I want you to focus there. Look there. Look at the excitement of bringing these things into your life because you're choosing to let go of this thing that was restricting you from enjoying it before. Focus there, my friends, because that's where you're going to find the energy to move forward unstoppably without having to use this resistant willpower of trying to get away from those things behind you that you're letting go of and focusing on what you're missing out on by not having it. We don't need to focus there because we're focusing on these amazing, beautiful things we're inviting into our life by letting go of those things. So you now have an activity. You now have some clarity surrounding this illusion that somehow letting go of these things is restricting your life. Because, my friends, letting go of these things is not restricting your life. You're already restricting your life by holding on to them and limiting yourself to what's possible by holding on to them. Limiting to yourself to what is possible with this thing in your life that could be taken away at any moment in time. So you have these things now. You have these things you can look forward to bringing into your life. If you've done this activity, if you try it out, and you start recognizing this drive inside of you to want more of choosing this with intention. This desire to, this is me moving towards my higher purpose, and I want more of that. I want more of moving towards my higher purpose, not more of buffering away the discomfort of me not going towards my higher purpose with these false desires and these false hits of pleasure and needing more and more of these things that's actually creating more unhealth and more lack of enjoyment in my life in the long run and more work for me. I want more of this fulfillment in life instead. I want to let go of this living in the false pleasure moment at the expense of my well-being, at the expense of my dreams and goals, at the expense of my higher purpose. I want to stop restricting myself to this small, limited existence. If you want that, if you want to get more clear on this, if you want to start taking the most powerful and sustainable action towards that life that you see yourself living when you are completely free of these restrictions, then I want you to reach out. I'm here to guide you through this work. This activity is just one tiny tool in the tool belt that I'm going to show you for how to start building that most fulfilling, authentic, healthiest life full of your higher purpose. So dive into this activity, see what comes up. If you do the activity and you recognize there's a struggle here and you want help with it, also reach out. If you do the activity and you recognize a power starting to well up in you and you want more of that in your life, you want to invite more of that in your life, I'm here to guide you, okay? Reach out. That's all I have for you today, my friends. I love you all. I will talk to you again next week. Ciao. Thank you for listening to the Connect Your Health to Life coaching podcast. I hope you enjoyed the content of this podcast today. If you did, please subscribe or follow this podcast to receive newest episodes every week as I bring them to you here on the Connect Your Health to Life coaching channel. If you would like more information about me and the work that I do with my clients one-on-one, please visit www.slch.ch for more. Again, that is www.slch.ch. You can also find me on Instagram at SethLusk_coaching. Again, that's SethLusk_coaching. Or on Facebook and my Facebook community that's called Health Connection Corner. One last time, that Facebook group is called Health Connection Corner. It's free to join. You just have to answer 3 membership questions to become a part of the community there, and we would love to have you. I want to thank you again for listening. I look forward to our next time together. Have a wonderful and health-filled day. Ciao.